Welcome to the Industry Talks podcast. I'm your host, Roman Perry. So we have a Twitter now for this podcast. It's at IND Talks Podcast. We'd love for you to follow us and give us some feedback on some episodes and then also suggestions for future episodes. And then if you want to reach me directly, you can reach me at Roman Perry Music. That's also on Twitter and Instagram and pretty much everywhere else. So this week, we have the extremely talented singer and songwriter, Trace. On this episode, we discuss where she finds her inspiration, how she stays motivated through the changing of seasons, and how she has found success so quickly.
Industry Talks.
So we're rolling.
Great.
Welcome to the Industry Talks podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you, I got to say your name. I got to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Trace.
Hi.
Welcome to the Industry Talks podcast.
Thank you.
And people know who they're listening to.
Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Great. I'm Trace and I'm from Orange County.
Okay.
Moved to LA about almost 5 years ago. I keep like changing it. Like, it's always like, I just moved here, but it's been like a minute. And I do music.
Great.
And I love music.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're a really talented singer.
Sure. Yes.
And songwriter.
Thank you.
You've worked with a bunch of pretty talented producers too. And
yeah, getting the roster.
Getting the roster.
Yeah, growing. Yeah.
Definitely. So what got you into music? Earlier, you were talking about your mom and, you know, growing up in a musical household and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I, like everyone on the earth, love music. And I grew up in a household where music was very normal and being a singer as a career was normal. But I never wanted to do that because who wants to do what their parents do?
Right. I can relate.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like, dope, like mom's killing it. I'm gonna be the weather woman or work in advertising, you know, and that was like a dream sort of growing up. But
you want to be a weather woman?
I kind of did for like a second.
It's pretty glamorous.
It's so glamorous.
Yeah.
Like your hair and makeup done and you're done by like 11 a.m. like the morning news, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I love music, but never thought about it for me as a profession. And I was always into communications and branding and all that marketing kind of editorial stuff. And so I did an editorial for a bit, and it wasn't until a few years ago, let's say three, a friend asked me to sing a song on his EP, and I was kind of shocked because I've never sung really in front of anybody or in a mic or recorded anything, but I like to do things I don't know how to sometimes. And so I agreed, and I did it, and when I heard it, I just felt very like stirred in the way of like, oh, what would I sound like if it was really my piece of work, you know, my own record, my own album. And it feels very random when I talk about it because I never wanted to do music, I swear. But it's odd because I can't live without it now, thinking about what my life is like. And so I did a Kickstarter to raise money for an EP. Thankfully, had a friend from college who is super talented and had worked with a lot of other people, but really never had done solo, like produced his own stuff. And I kind of was like, trusted him with my work. And what I kind of threw at him was just like, hey, here are like some my songs that I wrote poorly on a guitar or keyboard. Let's change it up. And so Brandon Zediker is his name, and he's a good friend, and he produced my EP. And it just kind of worked, you know, and the timing was great. And being in LA and having a network of people who are so willing to just have you meet the right people and, you know, show you what a microphone looks like, it's just really helpful to just ask questions around the right people. So that's how it kind of started.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of a chance thing that you got into it.
I literally did a Kickstarter and invited all my friends to a friend's backyard so they can hear me sing. And they were like, you sing. And I'm like, I'm not sure, but let's see what this sounds like. And they all came and they brought their friends and they watched me sing in a backyard to a guitar, a friend played a guitar. And it's really funny thinking about it. But yeah, they just supported me. Yeah, it was great.
So did you ever play music like growing up? Like, did you ever have like piano lessons?
Or I wish. I really blame.
Choir or something?
No, never. I blame my mother because she's always like, I wish you played piano. And I was like, you should have put me in there. You should have got me braces too, you know? But like, I played tennis. Like, that was my parents played tennis. And so that was my thing. Like, I played all up until college.
Okay.
So no music.
That's interesting.
I know. It's so rude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How is it now that you are making a career in music? Like, how is that with your, like, your relationship with your mother?
Yeah.
What is that like?
That's a fun question. It's really cool. I mean, my parents are divorced, so it's always just been my mom and I. And so we've always been close, but it's so cool to actually relate to her in a, you know, it's hard to connect to your parents as you get older too. You're just like, who are your parents? Like, do we even know them, you know?
Right.
And it's so cool to really learn about her history. I've been more mindful when I see her like once every like 3 weeks or something. We'll have lunch and I've been mindful to really ask her really juicy questions about the industry. And it's so different than like American music, obviously, because it's very different. But it's cool to talk to her about the process that she goes through in terms of, you know, confidence on stage and any self-doubt, mom? Like, what does that look like for you? And just kind of really like getting to like the gritty stuff of being an entertainer in any type of public eye. And so with her, it's been really cool to see her really, she'll always be proud of me no matter what I do, because I literally do whatever I want in the sense of like, I wasn't a doctor. I was like, I'm going to do advertising. I'm going to do editorial. And she's like, whatever that is, cool. But it's cool for her to understand now that I'm doing music. And she's like, I can understand that.
Could you ever see you like writing a song with your mom?
No one has ever asked me that. She would love that with all her heart and soul. That'd be kind of cute. I'm going to think about it.
That'd be super cute.
That would be super cute, you guys. I'm going to think about it. I don't know. That's interesting. It's not a no.
It's not a no. Not yet.
No.
Maybe something's in the works you can talk about. Yet.
Yeah.
So what do you feel like was your break? Because you said earlier that you are full-time now.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you feel like you were comfortable doing that?
That's great. I think that I had to realize that you really can't be divided.
Okay.
When you work on something like music, I think that I released one single while I was a managing editor for a publication.
Which single was that?
Heavy Shoulders is my first single. And that sat for a year. And that's what happens when you have another work life. And so for me, it was the conscious like realization of this is a real thing. Music's not just for fun for me, you know? And I thought it was in the beginning, but I was like, no, music is going to be my life. And what does that look like? And so for me, it was a decision to kind of actually risk the unknown and have a lot of faith in what I feel like I'm called to do and in my art. And so it was a combination of that and the tangible realization that my EP was doing really well as an independent artist. I think it was like a combination. I released my EP August. I'm like asking you, August, was it? I think it was August. It was August. And I had so much support from Spotify. And they just really positioned me in this place of like, you know, reality. And it was cool to get a response from like the world. And so that the combination of feeling really confident in my work and getting a good reaction from that meets just this conscious decision to be like, I'm going to quit this job and trust that.
So you kind of, it was a leap of faith.
100%.
Where does your inspiration come from for all your music? Because I feel like you come from a real place. But I feel like you come from like a real place.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, are you kind of just like, is it all just like stories you're telling? Mm-hmm. Or do you draw upon your own life? Or
yeah. Yeah, I think there's a few responses to that in that I started writing, I think, and it's evolving and it's changing, sure. But I think in the beginning, it was about just myself and my inner dialogue and I guess like growing up. I think it was just like a reflection upon my life and what I think about before I go to bed and what I think about when I wake up kind of thing. I think it started into that. And then it kind of has evolved to just relationships with anybody. And and how that affects me and how I affect that. And okay. I think it's really imaginative too, like my writing, in the sense of I grew up as an only child, so I had a lot of time to think about things and make up things.
Yeah.
And also experience things like all on my own. And so I feel like my writing comes from like, you know, I wish this would have happened, or I wish this never happened, meets like, this is what happened and this is how I feel kind of thing. And so it's been, I mean, I wanted to say like, it's about bad dates, you know, but sometimes it is. Sometimes like a line is about, like a lyric will be just about like a terrible date I just had.
Right.
And that nails it and it's great. But sometimes the line is about like feeling the anxiety of the world on your shoulders.
Right.
And so definitely they're all not happy.
No.
But I'm totally into that in the sense of wanting and desiring to make sadness a healthy thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It kind of makes it, I don't want to be like, oh, it's palatable. But like,
yeah.
Like I was listening to your music on the way up and it's mm-hmm. just, it's like, it's very, it doesn't necessarily put me in a sad mood.
Right.
Do you know what I
mean?
Yeah. But it is still about, they're still about sad and very real things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm like, I don't know. It's good music. It's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how do you stay motivated to like, now that you are independent and now that you are like sort of like doing your own thing with music mm-hmm. and you don't have a real day-to-day job,
mm-hmm.
how do you stay motivated? Like what keeps you going?
Yeah. You know, it's so easy to, it's hard to be like essentially your own boss, you know, and how do you, right.
I'm very familiar.
How do you, what does productivity look like to you? What does hard work look like to you? What does success look like to you? I think those questions are questions that you have to ask yourself every day.
I'm going to hit you with those in a bit.
Perfect. So what keeps me motivated is knowing that no one can do my job. I need to do it. I can't depend right. on a manager or a label or whatever, or my keyboardist to like make me write songs. It's like, it starts with me. And so I think there's a really beautiful responsibility to right. to be motivated, and it's totally just self-realization and self-acknowledgement of just like, this is your work and people are around you supporting you. Don't waste your time. Don't waste their time.
Right.
There's a lot at stake. And so I think that kind of kicks me. but I'll admit I'll have, you know, seasons of just feeling discouraged, apathetic, and tired. And then other seasons, majority of my life, hopefully, is just like, I have to do this because it's so yeah. amazing that I get to do this. So it's just, it's a mental thing, truly.
Which seasons are better for you?
The one we're leaving now is the worst. So
fall?
Yeah. I mean, fall in general is juicy to me because I okay. love, that's like the songwriting comes out. It's cold. It's colder, quote unquote, colder here.
I mean, there aren't really seasons in
Los Angeles. There aren't seasons. I would say though, my favorite would be like, I do love where we're at now. Like I love, like October is so lovely to me in general. Like there's an air that switches that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this year's kind of been like crazy. But October to like the end of spring is my favorite.
Okay. So
summer is like
winter with like heavy quotation
sure.
marks.
Yes.
Because it's Los Angeles.
Yes.
Okay. It's like perpetual. I feel like the cool thing about LA in the winter is that it's like, because I'm from New England.
Okay.
And like it kind of reminds me of like perpetual October right, a little bit for
right.
the whole winter, because it's like it's kind of warm during the day, but mm-hmm. then it gets nice and cold at night and you still have to like, you need a blanket.
Totally.
And like some cocoa.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what I
a
mean?
Dream.
Even though it's only like 55 degrees.
Right. I'll take it.
People in New England that are going to be like killing me.
I know.
For me saying
I know,
this.
Right.
Digging out their car and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does productivity look like to you? Like what does productivity mean to you?
Hmm.
Like, what's a good productive day for you?
I mean, I think it's so just like, I think it's not even just work related when it comes to like what productive feels like. I think productive okay. for me feels like I like exercised and went outside, made a great breakfast, you know, followed up on a friend and see if they're fine or, you know, or
yeah.
vice versa and ask for help.
Yeah.
And then if I did anything related to like writing my like thought down feels productive to me. I think I used to write so much more And I think I got caught up a lot in just learning like production and like learning. And I get, you know, I get kind of caught up in like the branding and all that stuff. And I think for me, it's productivity looks like when I've had a moment with my guitar. I think now it's a realization, a really recent one, where I feel like I'm going back to the basics.
Yeah.
Simplifying my process, because I'm not a guitar player. I'm not very good, but I know how to play it. So it's like that feels productive to me when I just sit even for like a moment with some like thoughts.
Right.
In that sense, you know.
Kind of lets you like strum it out a little bit.
Yeah. And just like to give myself that grace and not be so like, I need to like finish a song or I need to like whatever. It's just I need to feel connected to like the simplicity of music creating.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's important. I think that's really easy to lose nowadays. I noticed that because like I'm on the computer all the time.
Right,
so like,
right.
But I also go on Reddit and I also go on YouTube on my computer.
Yeah,
so it's really hard for me to separate that, like, you know, because I have this little distraction box, but then I also have this little productivity box, but they're the same box.
Yeah.
And it's really important, I think, to do that, to step out and be, you know, look at, just kind of hold your guitar and just, you know, strum along and maybe just like record it with your phone and not even think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
How many hours a week are you focusing on music? Like, what do you think is your...
Should be higher.
Of course, it's always got to be higher.
For sure.
If it's, you know...
I mean, it just depends, you know. I think if, like, a couple of weeks ago, I had 4 days out of five in the studio, and that's like 8-hour days. So it's like, I don't know, like... 40? Like, what's a normal job? I mean, it needs to be more than a normal job.
It's
like 70, right?
A 40-hour work week is 8 hours
a day.
A day for 5 days.
Yeah.
And that still seems like low.
Super low. Yeah. I want to say 70, but it's not 70.
No, that's even.
So we're going to get there.
Yeah, you're going to get there.
Yeah.
But that's 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And that would, I look forward to say that confidently, consistently, but. It's getting there.
Yeah.
I think I'm also learning, though, to be honest, because you know yourself. You know when you're being lazy and you know when you're working really hard. And I think I'm really learning what counts as work, because I'm not saying Reddit counts as work, but it might. Like, it might inspire you.
It probably doesn't, but...
Fair. But for me, it's like, I think sometimes I have to go out on a walk.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I have to, like watch a film. I just that's just how it is. But then you know when you're like watching like the whole season of The Office and you're like, that's not productive. But you know,
it's not it's inspiring
interesting,
in the way.
Yeah.
You know, another more artier.
Yeah, because it's not like
might be.
It's like I go to my desk and sit and I'm like, I'm gonna write a song from 8 AM to like 5 PM and have a lunch break. It's very different. And so it's very interesting learning what that looks like for me.
So it's very more, you're kind of following your inspiration.
Yeah, that and also it's really important, I think, as a creative to have these like goals, like quarterly goals. And if each day you make progress towards those goals, great. Like as long as the bigger picture, you're like touching it and you're getting there, that helps me feel productive when I'm like, am I getting closer to this like thing that's due like in the next, it's like, yeah, cool.
What do your quarterly goals look like?
Well, I have a call after this about that.
Oh, really?
But my quarterly goals are just more like release dates of like anticipated songs or projects. And it's also like social media, just like boring data stuff, but just like how often am I posting? What's our goal with like engagement on all platforms? How can we get creative with engaging with fans?
Uh-huh.
It's like all that like, you know, whatever stuff that
the
I kind of the marketing stuff that I enjoy, but it's a lot of work to plan out.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the creatives that go with your music. So like music videos, promos, events, shows. It's just kind of like, what do we hope for the next quarter and what goes along with what we want to release? So it's like, if we plan to release a song in the next quarter, then we should talk about the album art and the promotion and what's different about it than the last one. It's like, all that stuff. So that's what quarterly goals kind of look like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do your shows look like?
The setup?
Yeah.
The most basic setup I've had during my first tour this time last year, was just me and a keyboardist.
Okay.
And tracks.
Okay.
So very simple.
Yeah.
Very like fun and easy. And, you know, I have a visual like in the background, like a video. And that's like the most simple form. The most complex form that I've really enjoyed that I want to and hope to kind of always maybe stick to, but who knows, is a full band.
Okay.
And so a bass player, a guitar player, and a drummer and a keyboardist. And it's just like me and a band.
That's the way to go.
It's really fun though. It's a little expensive.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. And it 100% gives me another energy and just feels, but I mean, there's like pros and cons to it. I think there's something really interesting and challenging for me as a solo artist to sing by myself and be on stage by myself.
Terrifying.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, okay, what am I going to do to keep them interested? So there's, I love both.
Yeah. The band kind of gives you a little bit of a safety net.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cause like you're kind of with your crew.
Yeah, for
sure.
And if you're
in it together a little bit.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And my mom prefers a band. Yeah. She saw my first like headline show and she was like, you should have a band always. I'm like, great. Thanks, Carol.
Great. So you went on tour last year.
I did. This time last year.
Was that your first tour?
It was my first tour. Like, my first North American tour.
How many dates was that?
It was a lot.
A lot of dates.
It was 25 dates in maybe like 37 days.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was it fun?
It was the best first tour I think anyone could ask for.
Okay.
In the sense of I opened for Mr. Little Jeans. Okay. And I've been a big fan of hers for a while. And so it's kind of like weird and surreal. And we actually got along. And her team got along with my team. And we were like a family traveling together.
For 37 days.
Yeah. It was like, it was during the holidays too. So we'd have a break and we'd come back. It was like truly during this time right now. And it was really fun. I've never done anything like that before in the sense of I've never sung 4 days in a row, let alone 2 days in a row,
right.
You know? And I made it. It worked. I was so nervous. I was like, what if I lose my voice? What if I get sick? And I just was like, it was really fun. It was really fun to just sing without pressure because it wasn't my tour. So it was really cool to be like, well, if no one knows me, that's totally fine. I don't know me. So we're just going to sing and see what happens.
Just kind of figure it out.
The crowds were cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Touring is probably like the best part. Being a musician, at least for me.
Okay.
I just think that's like, it's the funnest. Just cause
I'd like a more bougie tour, to be honest. Just like
you'd
I
like
need,
a more, I, what I like, is a more bougie tour
I just
like?
I just don't want to slum it that much. I think it's a lot for me. I just like, I'm so grateful for this first tour. And I have to pay my dues or whatever. I might like bite my tongue saying this, but
yeah.
I don't want to sleep on a couch.
What's wrong with sleeping on couches?
I need to be comfortable. I think it affects my health and my performance.
I think you're just a singer.
You're right. I'm not like a grungy boy in a band. Sorry. I need like a bed. So.
No, it's okay.
But we'll see.
No, I understand. I totally get what you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least like, you know, your own like hotel rooms.
Sure.
And having,
yeah.
A bare minimum level. Were you on a bus?
No, we were in my manager's car.
You're on a...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bless your heart.
Maybe next time you'll get the bus.
Yeah, sure. I'll take it. Yeah.
Get the bus.
No, we really DIY'd it.
Okay.
Yeah, but she nailed it. So it was
cool.
Good. Yeah.
What does success look like to you? Or are you kind of currently feeling successful?
I had a great answer for this. I think it's gone now. I think success is... The obscure response is like, is freedom.
Okay.
You know, I think success is when, I don't know, I've had jobs in my past where it feels very dramatic to say, but it's a real feeling and I'm sure people could relate to it. But when you feel like your soul is dying, you're like, what am I doing on this world? What am I adding to people and their lives and my life? And I think I've had a lot of jobs feeling that way. And I think success for me feels like, kind of like every day waking up and feeling so cheesy, but so grateful to be able to do music.
Right.
Yes, I want to make a living. Yes, I want all the Grammys. Yes, I want to have money so I can like buy my mom a home and like buy myself a home and, you know, no more student debt. That would be lovely. I feel like I could say like, if I had no debt, that'd be success. And if I had, you know, house, whatever.
Half a dozen Grammys.
Sure. Like a Grammy, that would be successful.
Half a dozen houses.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah.
That to me, sure. Success. And those are things I look forward to and hope to attain.
Yeah.
That's not what I rest my soul on.
Right.
I think it rests on the knowledge and acceptance of like, I've been given something and I really want to share it.
Right.
And that's success to me. in a very, like, my, this is my heart for you to hear. Like, that's success for me. But I also think simply doing music full time feels like a success to me.
Yeah.
To not be divided and do other odd jobs and stuff. And, you know, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had many successes in my career. I also feel like I want so much more, you know?
Yeah.
So I think success is evolving
yeah.
and it's ongoing, but it's a very fragile thing if you, I don't know, don't look at it in a way that feels like you have to set yourself up to feel successful and be successful. And I think it's about being realistic right. too.
Well, so I feel like there's almost like the two forms of success. Because mm-hmm. after like, you know, doing a few of these podcasts, I ask a lot of people yeah. like what success looks like. And I feel like a lot of people say, you know, success is being able to, you know, do what you love.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the success of like Grammys mm-hmm. and stuff like
and
that.
Recognition.
So, and recognition. And, mm-hmm. I wonder, and like they both, it's the same word, but they mean very different things.
Right.
And I think that's interesting. It's just an interesting concept.
It really
like
is.
The two separate successes. So like, what's the difference? So like, what is the, you know, so I guess the soul success
mm-hmm.
and then there's like the material success almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's also boiling it down to just society, like yeah. society's like standards of success, uh-huh. especially in America.
Yeah.
Would be like Grammys and property and image,
right.
image, I yeah. guess, which we all kind of fall prey to. And I definitely do. But yeah, there's also the whole like, soul success.
Yeah, definitely.
The Oprah version of success.
The Oprah success.
Even though she has millions and millions of dollars. But
I also feel, too, that, like, when you find your success in your soul, like, when you find the soul mm-hmm. success and when you're doing something that aligns with, you know, when your passions mm-hmm. align with what you're doing,
yeah.
and, you know, you're putting food on your table through
yeah.
what you're passionate about,
yeah.
you end up with
absolutely
everything else.
Absolutely.
You know, like, if you really follow your heart
totally.
And your dreams, then you will eventually,
yeah.
you know, do what you, you'll get those Grammys.
Yeah.
You know, those
I mean, that's the beautiful hope of it, I yeah. think. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like, I don't know if this is going to get a little too weird, but I feel like the universe kind of rewards you for finding yourself in a way.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
What does failure look like to you? The opposite of everything we just said.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. Failure. I don't fear failure.
Okay.
I say that like, I'm like, whoops. I don't fear failure. I really fear being inauthentic. I feel like being okay. misread. Like, that scares me more. Like being misunderstood versus failing. So I would say to you that failure to me is just inevitable.
Right.
I think failure is a part of it.
Yeah.
And I think failure is the best opportunity for character.
Okay.
I think I love the idea of, I've failed for sure in my life. And I think it's kind of like when someone lets you down, like on, like in relationships or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, I could have never been with you anyway. So thanks for not nailing it because you suck. It's kind of like that. It's like failure is an opportunity to really, really kind of reevaluate and realign like what it is that you're about and how you can do better next time.
Yeah.
Which is part of it.
It's almost like failure tells you more about yourself.
Yeah.
Than success 100%. Does.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. What was your last big one?
Big failure.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, it would have been maybe trusting people too quickly.
Okay.
Especially in the business.
Yeah.
I think my last failure was being quick to bring people in.
Right.
Because I totally believe in everybody. I really do. And I think everyone has a great heart somewhere. And so I think the one that sticks in my head is just kind of letting certain people in my nucleus of my team.
Okay.
Or not. This is too like specific now. But and just feeling like, oh, I really failed that like that persona check. I just kind of
vetting process.
Yeah. I kind of just felt like I believed in everybody. And that's
yeah.
why I think that's why I have a great manager, because she's like, doesn't trust anyone. And she said to me, she's like, I'm here for that because you could you trust everyone. I'm like, fine.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, she's definitely, we have a great dynamic because she like sees everything.
How did you meet your manager?
It was, again, just magic.
Just magic.
I also feel like every time I say the story, she's like, that's not how we met. And I'm like, cool. We met at an event.
Well, when I interview her, I'll
perfect.
Get her side of the
yes.
story. So let's hear
perfect.
Yours.
When we met, we were at a friend's like artist pop-up event at Kitten Ace, this retail shop that mm-hmm. was in Pasadena. And she worked at Kitten Ace before, a retail shop. And so it was just kind of like this intimate event of just people getting to know each other. And she, there was an intro, like, who are you? What do you do? And I think we just ended up connecting after, and she was like, let's grab coffee. And I'm like, yes, I'd love that. I think that's what happened. And she's younger than me. And so I've always been like, I think she knows this, but I like mentoring like young women. So I'm like, yeah, like girl, let's hang out. But we ended up just talking about music, and her then boyfriend was in the industry. So she knew about it, but she never really did anything with music until me. And I think she heard my stuff, and I think she liked it. And she really just, we had a great coffee date. And I think she just kind of ended up saying, I want to help you. And I was like, yes. And I just felt a lot of peace about her. Uh-huh. And she like, yeah, it was her first anything with music. And it was really cool to see her be super like, had a lot of faith in me. That's how I've made anything in my life.
Right.
Like why I'm here is anyone had any belief in me with their money, with their time,
yeah,
with their connections. That's how I've made it here.
Just because people believe in you?
Yeah.
That's pretty...
I've duped them. Just kidding. Yeah. No, it's like the most humbling feeling. Like you need people. And I don't think I've believed that for a long time because I like to not need people at all.
But you do. You have to go... If you want to go... This is what they say. I'm like full of platitudes on the Industry mm-hmm. Talks podcast.
Perfect.
I'm always dishing them out.
Okay.
If you want to go fast, you go alone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go far, you go together.
Ugh. Yeah. So true. That's a good one though.
Yeah. That's kind of... as time has gone on and I've started meeting more people too for my own career, that's what I've realized is like, just like going,
mm-hmm.
like being in a band and stuff like that.
Right.
Just like, and then, cause you're not a lot, like having your manager and the fact is, are you the only artist that she manages?
Not anymore.
No. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
She's growing up. She's nailing it.
That's good.
Yeah.
No, that's great. But still like you guys are working together on, on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, really cool.
And you guys are collaborating, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
How long has she been representing you?
2 years.
2 years.
Maybe longer. 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
2 years.
Do you feel like having a manager was something that really helped you out?
Oh, of course. You need accountability.
Yeah.
You need a challenger.
Okay.
You need organization.
Yeah. What does her challenge or accountability towards you look like?
I think it's her really knowing who I am.
Okay.
I think it started off, and it is still is a thing where she knows the things I want, and she knows who I am. I think in my deepestness, I think she really sees that, and it's kind of trusting her,
right,
her response to my things. Because I honestly, it's like with music, it's my music. It doesn't matter what my manager says, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But it's something where it's cool to have someone push you and kind of remind you about who you are and why you're doing what you're doing.
Does she do that explicitly or like sort of implicitly? Like, does she do that outright or more just through?
We're just
the way that
brutally honest with each other.
Okay.
Yes. And she's, if anyone knows the Enneagram personality test, she's an 8, which is a challenger. And that type of personality is very like intense, which I've worked with, which I've learned to like handle and understand. And it's the idea of tough love, I think. But we are just, you know, it's kind of like when you know someone is literally always looking for your best interest,
right?
No matter who else they represent or who else they work with, or if you feel or they feel like there's just a lot of weird soul understanding with us. It's a weird relationship because I think we just really get each other. And it's like, we don't talk business all the time. It's like, how's your mom? How's your dad? You know, like, it's like real stuff kind of like that. So it's like, it's become a big part of just like my life, my relationship with my manager.
Yeah. I always feel like relationships in the music industry, especially creative relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, like either with collaborators or even the people that you work with, like mm-hmm. your managers and stuff like that. I always feel like they have this weird tinge to them that are unlike any other business relationship that mm-hmm. you'd get into.
Yeah.
Because I was in another band
mm-hmm.
and it just like, it feels like you're, in like a sexual relationship with these people, even though, except like you're not having sex with them, like you're like playing music with them and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, the level of intimacy that like my manager has, I feel the same way. Like, I feel like he knows me better than I know myself sometimes.
Yeah.
And I feel like he'll say some shit sometimes and I will get pissed off at him.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, you asshole. Mm-hmm. But I think about it for another day or two and I'm like, God damn it, he's fucking right.
Yeah.
He's so right.
Totally. And you know? And the beauty, yeah, it's like a relationship though. The beauty about that is when you find someone you respect enough to call you out.
Yeah.
Great. Like, that's what I like. Like, I have friends in my life who've called me out that I'm like, you have no idea who I am or who you are. But I have other friends who have, and I'm like, whoa. And that's like the part, that's I think really important in the sense of having like a team in this industry, like the relationships you have in the music industry. It's kind of crazy because who knows who's real and who's not and who's nice and who's mean. But yeah, it's important.
Yeah. Well, you kind of find your tribe.
Yeah, that's the hope.
You know?
But yes.
You kind of find the people that you trust and you want to build, that you link and build with.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's great that you have found somebody. It's just, you're a very unique case because I feel like a lot of people don't start as late in life as you did.
Correct. Yes.
Not that it's late in life. You're still very young. And a lot of people don't find the success as quickly as you have. And find as much like I almost feel like I don't want to say like you're predestined to do this and stuff like that, but like it was in the cards for you to do that.
I hope so. It feels weird, but yeah.
So you just kind of like fell into the right setup.
Yeah, it feels pretty magical.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Magic makes everything a little bit more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So let me see what else I have written down here. Who do you look up to the most? Maybe on like a personal level and then maybe on like a professional level.
Mm-hmm. I think I look up to my best friend, Rebecca.
Okay.
She and I worked at the magazine together and we lived together. So we kind of just like did everything together, but we're still obviously friends. But personally, I mean, she's just like my best friend. She's like my person, my emergency contact. She's essentially kind of raising a kid on her own and works full time and has the best taste in like photography and visuals. And she's just like a dope person.
Right.
And she nails just, I think, every aspect of her life. And she's been through a lot and you wouldn't be able to tell. She's like the strongest, prettiest, coolest person I know.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think I'm sure she would say the same about me, which is why I like love her because it seems so, it's like a mutual like friendship that we have, but I really, really look up to her and she's like 1 year older than me, but yeah, she's someone I really respect. I think respect comes to mind, like who do I respect the most? And it's kind of synonymous to me.
Okay.
So I'd say her. Professionally, I guess for some reason, I just want to say Feist, Leslie Feist. Hey girl, we met once, it's fine. You know, I think I just love her career.
Yeah.
I think she's like really talented, like musician and singer, and she has such a vision and she's like a catalog artist. She just has all the songs, all the albums. She's consistent and I like her career. I don't think I'd want the exact one, but I think I just look at her and I'm like, oh, like I love what she's been doing and has done and probably will do. And then on the other end, I have like friends who I look up to who have been doing the hardest industry, which is acting for like 10 plus years. And then a friend recently, my friend Jackie Tone, she came to mind because she's been working so hard and she's having a damn good year. And I'm just like, yes, it's just so cool to see her realize it because she's not like finally or like I deserve this. She's just kind of like, okay. Cool. This makes sense to me. And it's really cool to see that because that luxury of working at something for 10 years, luxury or not the opposite of luxury, I don't have that.
Right.
And I hope I don't have to do that starting later and all, but whatever. But yeah, looking at her, I think like, wow, I really look up to her, like her heart behind it.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the artists that inspire you? You said Feist.
Yeah.
But like maybe I'm always interested to find out like what people listen to like in middle school.
Oh, cute.
And like what like got you in? Because like I feel like there's a period of time when you kind of start discovering your own music.
Yeah.
And I want to know like what were some of the artists like.
I really loved Alanis Morissette.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah. Just so crabby all the time, just feeling all the pains. I loved her, but I also really loved like pop, you know, right. like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Britney Spears, like 100%.
Yeah.
Like love the pop.
I mean, there's some really good stuff in there.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like the CDs I bought in like middle school. I also had a phase where I was a boy and like I skateboarded. Not that boys only boys skateboard, but I like
grungy
loved
boys.
But I loved like Taking Back Sunday.
Okay.
Like they were my favorite band, I think, for a hot second. And like Blink-182, just like that scene.
I love Blink.
Yeah. Like love Blink.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this, as we get older, it kind of moved into the folkier, like Death Cab for Cutie vibes and whatever else was during that time.
Yeah.
Kind of everywhere, I would say. But I think my most like poignant memory is like I bought the Jagged Little Pill record.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, she's emotional.
Yeah.
I love it.
She's really talented.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I sang 1,000 Miles in my high school
That's
acapella group.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh. That was, I need to see
I
that.
I didn't sing the lead, but I
Fair.
I sang
the bass
part.
Is there a tape? Can we see it?
There must not be for a tape. That. Not for okay. that one. There All might right. be. I might dig it up and then burn it.
Okay, great. Perfect. Perfect. Like Aqua, were they a thing?
Aqua was a thing.
Listen to them. Ska for a hot second, because I'm from Anaheim.
Okay.
So No Doubt was like
No Doubt's amazing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like Tragic Kingdom, let's be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, that whole
Don't Speak. Maybe the best song ever. It's fine.
I think Pharrell produced a lot of their
did
stuff.
Did he?
I think so. I'm not sure. I think the Neptunes, like,
oh, amazing.
They did Hella Good. I'm
okay.
pretty sure. I don't.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Pharrell's been around for 70 years. So.
Yeah, he's like, I think he's 60.
Yeah, he's literally at least 60. He's
yeah.
amazing.
He just doesn't age ever. No. And he just is a.
That's my plan.
It's just never age.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
I look 12. It's fine.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
Thanks.
You're at the ripe age of 21 right now. So, mm-hmm. What was the last book?
I'm so glad I'm not 21.
What was the last book that you read that had an effect on you? Are you a reader?
Yeah, the last book I listened to was The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Okay.
Or Give a Damn. I'm not sure. That was like fine. It was like How to Not Care as a Creative.
Okay.
I was like, that's fine. But the last book that I read was. I try to read. I buy books.
We're all trying
more
to
than
read.
More than I read them.
Yeah.
I would say The Power of Now.
Okay.
By Eckhart Tolle.
Okay.
It's just about being present. I'm such a dreamer and visionary, and I love looking ahead. I'm not down for the past. I'm like, ugh. You know when like you get Facebook reminders of like, this happened 7 years ago, and you're like, let's not live in the past, you guys. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
I like despise those posts.
Yeah.
So The Power of Now is about being present,
uh-huh.
and I'm not sure if you read it, but it's about...
I'm familiar with it. I probably should read it.
Practicing the power of being present, and also, like, the first chapter is called You Are Not Your Thoughts,
yeah.
and I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about just, like, practicing mindfulness.
Do you meditate?
Yes, I pray more than I meditate.
Okay.
I'm sure it's the same, but that's, like, a goal to, like, literally meditate every day in 2018.
That's a big goal.
It is a goal.
That's 365 times.
I know, but I think I found a lot of, I meditated for the first, not for the first time, but for the first like intentional time during Thanksgiving break. And I was so quieted. It was like so amazing.
Right.
So yes, I'm going to start doing that way more.
Have you ever heard of Headspace?
The app?
Yeah, the app.
Yes.
Have you tried it?
I have, but I don't think I've given it like a good try.
You got to give it a good try.
Okay.
I like used it for a while, and then I got Headspace Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out Headspace,
yeah,
which is sponsor our podcast.
Right?
I got it, and I got Headspace Pro for a year, and then like I didn't really use it as much, and then it recently renewed, and it's not cheap. It's like $100 for the year.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I guess I should just use it again,
yeah.
and then I've been using it again, and it's been,
okay.
it's been great. I really recommend, because they give you like 10 days.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you can use our code, INDTalks, not really.
Perfect.
At all.
Yeah,
there's no,
next time.
There's no
Soon.
Code for Headspace.
Soon.
But yeah, meditation has definitely been, like, if I can, for me, like, if I, you're talking about success, and success isn't just about you know, just, you know,
materials
and doing things and, you know, feeling successful. Like when I wake up and I take a shower and I eat a good breakfast and I dress well and I meditate, I'm going to feel great.
Like,
that
great day
is going to be amazing. You know,
totally.
But then when I, you know, roll out of bed and wear the same clothes I did the day before and eat a slice of cold pizza.
And you're rushing and you feel like stressed and
yeah, then my day is going to be not so successful.
Yeah.
So
totally.
I think it can be an element.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meditation can be an element of success.
For sure.
You said, are you comfortable getting into this stuff? Like you said, you pray. Like, are you comfortable talking about that? Like,
sure.
What is your, what are you praying to?
Like, I believe in God.
Okay.
I think I wasn't like raised in the church or anything, but I believe in God. And meaning, that's just like a preface of like, I don't know much about religions and I go to church, but I'm still learning.
Right.
I think it's really important for me to feel like there's purpose.
Right.
And there must be a God. That's just how I feel. And so I happen to believe in God. And so, yeah, I pray for me, my recent prayer has been truly, truly gratefulness because I forget a lot of the good things in my life.
Right.
Because I love fixating on what's going wrong and what's not happening. I feel super, super excited about my life and I don't want to live anyone else's and it's like a great life, but I get caught up in all those things in the sense of just like surpassing what has happened and not being just like coherent with just all the good stuff that's happening. So my prayer a lot recently has been just praying how grateful I am.
Right.
Just like thankful.
And just like reminding yourself to be grateful.
Yeah. Thankful. That changes everything. It changes how I act towards people.
Right.
Like simple stuff to like how I see myself even. And just like, I think for me, prayer helps remind me of my identity. And my identity for me is not in, you know, popular demand or a hit or attention or, you know, it's just like my identity is rooted, I think. I mean, I would say in God, but I would say it's rooted in just being able to feel free and to like have art a part of that expression is really cool.
Okay. Do you try to think that like the things that you have earned are things that are given?
Oh, for sure. I don't deserve anything.
Okay.
Oh, 100%. Everything that I've been, that I have, anything good in my life has never been because of me. And that's how I feel.
Right.
I really feel that way. And it could be, and I could even say like the universe, like put the right people in my life. Uh-huh. Like, I think anything that I've received is a gift.
Right.
And I will hold on to it and take care of it as best as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I've been finding, because I like have never been a religious person personally, but I've been finding that like, I think of like the universe as a concept and like think about, oh, the universe provides.
Yeah.
And like if you just like you put your intention out there, it will like come back towards you and stuff. And I've been finding that like maybe I actually do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to call it that because I can't think of it as like a, personally, I just think of it's like, I don't know if it knows in the way that, that's my own thing. But I also feel like it might just be like the same, different name for the same thing in some ways.
Yeah, like manifestation is a big thing in LA. And I'm totally into it. I'm like, like say the things you want. Like what you say is super, like on a very spiritual level, like what you speak is, it could be poisonous or it could be gold. And so even your thoughts too. So it's kind of like this idea of like spiritual wellness and I totally believe in manifestation, but for me, I connect that with God. But it's like, manifesting like good stuff.
Yeah, like it's all the same magic.
Yeah,
it's just like different
magic.
Ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it's like using Ableton or Logic.
Sure.
Or something.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you're still making great tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So you talked about movies and like watching movies to stay in, like, so that's like a source of inspiration and stuff. What are some of your favorite movies that you've watched?
I think my embarrassing response is they're not my favorite movies, but I enjoy watching them and I love like superhero movies because they're just so fun.
You're preaching to the choir. So
like,
I get you. I see you.
Yeah. I feel like every boy loves them. But I'm just like, yeah. Well, I'm like, what's the difference between like a DC and a Marvel? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm learning. But I enjoy watching those types of movies. But my favorite movies are probably obvious, but I love just indie films.
Okay.
I mean, one of my favorite films, I mean, I love like, you know, like Wes Anderson and sure, like Woody Allen. Like I do love their films. I'm really into things that look pretty, like visual, like
well, Wes Anderson. The coloring. The prettiest.
But yeah, it's magic. And that's why I get inspired with my own like visuals and stuff. Yeah. So like all those films are dope. Like, I mean, Paris, Je T'aime, like Amelie, every French film, probably any French based film.
Uh-huh.
My favorite movie on Netflix that I tell everyone to watch is The Beginners.
Okay.
It's with Ewan McGregor. It's really good.
What's that about?
It's about, it's in LA, which is fun. And he, basically, it's him and his dad. And his dad, his mom passed away. And so it's him and his dad. But his dad is basically, like, comes out of the closet at, like, 70 years old. And it's just, like, him, like, relearning, like, life and dating a man and, like, going to the clubs. And, like, it's really fun. But he also, I'm going to give it away, but he's sick. So it's, like, Ewan's kind of taking care of his, like, dad. And it's this, like, process of him learning, like, what life is like. And it's filmed really cool because it shows a lot of flashbacks to, like, when he was a kid. So there's a lot of, like, 70s, like, throwbacks of, like, it's really quirky and fun. It's done really well.
Like a good, like, family dramedy kind of thing?
Yeah. Or, like, you and your friends, maybe. It's not very warm. It's not like heartfelt.
Right.
It's like pretty moody, but.
Okay.
But it's a quirky. It's fun.
Okay. Well, I meant like family as in it's about a family.
Oh, yes.
Not
yes,
like
yes.
It's for the
yes,
family.
Yes, yes,
like,
yes.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it with my nephew and totally, stuff.
Totally.
It's going to be great.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that. I'm trying to think. There's like, I love movies a lot. I can't. Yeah. Requiem for a Dream is really dark, but I love that movie.
Uh-huh.
Donnie Darko, you know?
Good stuff.
Yeah. Anything with Winona Ryder, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, she's the best. I feel like there's been a resurgence. Like, since Stranger Things, I feel like there's been a resurgence of Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she's crushing the game now.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it.
Even though she's just done Stranger
Things.
She's
so crazy on that show. It's so funny.
Everybody's reminded. So is there anybody that you want to work with?
Yes.
Obviously. So who are some of the people? Let's state your intention and let's manifest this.
I want to work with Frank Ocean.
Okay.
I'm like, Frank, what's up?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Ocean would be dope. Bon Iver would be really
brilliant.
Cool.
Yeah.
I've loved him since his first piece of work, and I think I love what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
Anyone foreign? Just foreign people.
Just to get another perspective.
Yeah. I love working with foreign people. Not that I have a lot, but a lot of like Swedes are fun. I think it's like, for me, it's my initial reaction is like, I would love to see what it would look like to work with Max Martin. Like, that's hilarious. And I'm like, totally into it. I'm like, that doesn't really make me feel like nervous or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious, like, what is that even like? It's like, it's another world, you know?
Yeah.
I think, there are those answers. Like, sure. Me and Jack Antonoff, let's see what happens with that. Like, I'm so looking forward to something like that in the future. But in the sense of just artists and stuff, like not like necessarily producers, I would say like for sure, I think Frank Ocean's brilliant. Cat Power, that'd be a throwback, but I'd love to like hang out with her for a second.
That'd be great.
You know?
Feist.
Yeah, Feist.
Alanis Morissette.
Yeah. Wow, that would be hilarious. I wouldn't say no to that, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's hard because I can only think of like who's really in right now, right? Like I'm like, but I don't even know who's in.
But it
like,
doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I can't even.
You know.
Yeah, I also love just like, I think I would love to see what it would look like to work with like Tame Impala or Glass Animals. Like that kind of vibe is like my favorite too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Glass Animals.
Yeah, like they're just crazy.
Yeah.
Or like Future Islands, that'd be weird. I'm just saying what I'm like been obsessed with lately, but. I think they're so dope.
Just like your Spotify.
I'm just like looking at what I like played recently. Yeah, Charlotte Day Wilson.
Okay.
I've just become into like her vibe.
I'll have to look her up.
Oh my gosh, she's so, so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone.
Great.
Yeah. Anyone and everyone.
Anybody you click with probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyone who I click with and anyone who people would be like, that's different.
Yeah.
Like, I've always wanted to do a song with, like, another woman artist because I feel like that's so different.
Yeah. That never happens.
Yeah, I have some thoughts, but.
What are your
I'm going to keep it low key, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll keep see. Under, or you'll hear. I don't know.
I can't wait.
Totally teasing. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but I have some ideas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, Max Martin. That surprises me that you brought that one up.
Really?
I really like, I'm a fan of the super producer concept. Like, I like that kind of idea. Like,
yeah.
You have the guy, like, I have, like, some kid who's my engineer. You
sure.
know what I mean?
Sure.
Have you read, I think it's The Song Machine?
No.
You should read that
okay,
book.
Okay, that's
basically,
my next book.
I think it's called The Song Machine.
It's a good title.
Butt in and edit it. But
yeah.
It's about just the hit factories
cool.
over the past, like,
yeah.
40 years. And Max Martin is, like, one of the main
yeah.
dudes that it follows.
Yeah.
And if you want to know about what he's like, that's, like, the book to find out about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, a good bumper question to finish off on.
Yeah.
What's next?
It's, like, interesting because I'm, like, with a label. So I'm, like, music.
Can you talk about the label you're with?
Oh, yeah. I'm with Ultra. Ultra.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're with Sony. They're cute. They took a chance on me. So I'm excited about working further with them and releasing for sure. The next single is coming out.
Okay.
And then we're going to just say that a piece of body of work would be lovely to share next year.
Okay.
But for sure, I would say new music in the new year, in the top of the new year.
Okay.
And I'd love to play some shows. I think I'm really miss playing and performing. So, for sure, shows.
More shows, more releases.
Yeah, just more me. I feel like I've been just in hiding. I've been like writing a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to not be in hiding. I'm not hiding, but I feel like I'm just like I'm here. You guys, don't forget me.
It's just like your hibernation period.
Yeah.
I think everybody.
Yeah.
It's like a wave.
Yeah, it's the cycle of.
It's a cycle.
Yeah. So I think I'm gonna be coming out. Of the old cave.
Yeah. Coming out of your cage doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks for coming on the pod.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So that's our show. Trace's new single called Blood and Bones comes out next weekend. Make sure you check it out because it is going to be very, very good. You can also find her online on Twitter and Instagram. Her account is @ listentotrace. Thanks for listening.